Welcome to Sports on Tap, part of the NEO Sports Insiders Network. I'm Rob Trautman. We have Josh Jeffy, Ed Dick, and Sean Duffy, and we are live for the Greater Cleveland High School Hockey League draft from Dina's Pizza and Pub in Brooklyn. I want to welcome everyone, and thanks for joining us. And, guys, welcome back.
It's good to be back, Rob, again with the Greater Cleveland High School Hockey League.
That's a mouthful to say.
Say it 10 times fast.
I can't.
Okay. I'll swear. I'll start swearing.
Well, then you have the initials of it. I mean,
yeah.
GCHSHL. You have multiple H's
there's
there.
There's too many H's, too many S's.
If they were at the end, I think it would be a little bit easier.
I mean, I hope they don't mind criticism.
Love it. Well, speaking of criticism, we're going to talk to the president of the Greater Cleveland High School Hockey League, Ryan Kelber. And Ryan, thanks for taking time to join us before the draft here.
Hey, thanks for having me. Glad you guys can make it tonight for the draft. It's a fun event where we pick seniors for our All-Star game, which is next Friday at the Q at 4 o'clock. Just a real good event for all the seniors, kind of a last farewell game for all of them to participate in. But thanks again for being here.
Oh, no problem. And talk a little bit about the Barron Cup tournament that already happened, and you crowned some champions. And talk a little bit about how that went for you.
We have 21 games pretty much in 7 days. It's nonstop hockey, and between the three divisions, we did have a back-to-back champ from last year at Notre Dame Cathedral Latin. Won the blue division for the second straight year. We had a new champ in the white division, Cleveland Heights. I was the champion there, and then in the red division, Shaker Heights was the champion. But 21 games, all good games, a couple upsets here and there, and just a fun week of hockey at the Brooklyn Rec. It was a good time.
Yeah, we were up at the Brooklyn Rec, and I had a chance to view some of the games. And, learning a little bit about the league and how it all works, it's unbelievable how more teams seem to want to keep joining the league. Is that something you look to do, is just keep – adding teams that want to join each year?
This was the main league in the Northeast Ohio for numerous years, and we like to say the Barron Cup's tradition. Winning the Barron Cup, we have three trophies. I mean, the Barron Cup one is a really old trophy, gets passed around, so like Shaker gets to keep it for the whole year and all that. Treat it kind of like the Stanley Cup and all that, but it's a popular league to come in. We actually have a new team entering next year. Amherst Steel, they were in the league years ago. Unfortunately, their numbers dipped and they had to drop out, but we welcome them back. We are welcoming them back next year. So the key thing about our league is that each year we do a little bit of a realignment to kind of make it more competitive and fair for each team and all that. And you're going to have your powerhouses always up top. And, Shaker's represented that well, and Rocky River, Hudson's up there, and Kenston. But, for the lower schools, they're able to switch divisions and all that based on numbers and talent level, and it keeps it competitive, and it's really been a big advantage for us in our league.
Yeah, I see you guys have a pretty decent amount of teams down in the blue divisions. You have six teams in the north, the south, and the west. Without really getting into specifics, do you foresee a decent amount of them maybe moving up to the white division?
It's funny you ask, because we're going through an alignment right now, and I don't know if I should be even sharing this info, but breaking news.
Do we have a breaking news song? Come on,
a sounder.
We have two different proposals right now, and with four schools yet to vote, we are tied exactly right there. And what we're trying to do is kind of make it competitive in each one and kind of spread the teams out. So as you stated, there's a lot more in the blue, but there are some teams that are ready to move up to the white. And there's a couple of white teams that are ready to move up to red and all that. So we're trying to even it out between the three divisions and all that. The blue is more so for your weaker teams, and I don't want to pick on their talent level, but they have less skaters usually and more beginner skaters and all that. But still, each team usually has about three or four standouts and all that, compared to the red teams who can roll two or three lines consistently out and all that. But we are going through an alignment right now, and it is pretty pretty tight on the vote and all that. But it's something that everybody looks forward to.
With respect to the scheduling, obviously every if you're in the red division, you play the majority of games against the red teams. Do the teams get to kind of choose their non-division or non-color schedules, or how does that work?
Yeah, after the league schedule will come out, and then after that, it's up to each individual team to pick and choose who they want to play. So, you know, the stronger blue teams will want to play the white teams, and the stronger white teams will want to play the red teams and all that, just to see kind of where they stand and all that. You know, this year the Blue West, that was more of a beginner division, and I will say that they mostly played each other. Like, you know, that limited their schedule. But, you know, after anywhere from 10 league games to 16 league games, after that, you know, schools can pick and choose who they want to play in between tournaments and non-league games.
You know, how tough is it to reassign the teams? You know, you got to obviously vote and go through that. I mean, what's the discussions like when you – just to look at the schedule and the record throughout the year and see how they did and see what would make for the best games?
Yeah, there's a lot of factors that play into it. And I think the main ones is the record, you know, the previous year, and then also the number of seniors, I think. You know, there's been some teams that have had great success in the blue division for the last 5-6 years, and, you know, it's going to be time for them to move up, whether they like it or not. you know, that's one of those where, all right, it's time to go up. But,
yeah,
you know, we try to keep it geographically friendly, too, for some of the schools.
Mm-hmm.
But it comes down to more, like, everybody wants to have competitive games.
Right.
You know, hockey's a sport. You're used to traveling. So I'd rather travel and have a competitive game than, you know, play a neighbor and either win by a lot or lose by a lot. But,
yeah,
you know, there's always going to be a debate. Some schools think that they should be here and there. And, you know, sometimes the stats don't lie, though.
True.
You know, one thing that I noticed, and I'm – and doing the research for this, it was very interesting to see how you guys have partnered with, you know, for this event particularly, with the Quicken Loans Arena, with the Lake Erie Monsters, and letting, you know, some of the, like you said, your seniors go out there as the final farewell game. That's a pretty nice venue. Can you talk a little bit about the relationship you guys have with Quicken Loans, and is this, you know, for those who don't know, how many years have you guys been going to the queue and doing this, or is it something that's relatively new?
This is my third year really involved with the league, and so I would say this is the third year I remember the All-Star game being down there. They're really active in reaching out to the high school teams to schedule games there.
Okay.
They have a representative, David Aiken. He's a big hockey fan. He plays adult hockey, but he's friends with a lot of the coaches. And in the beginning of the year when we have our meetings, he'll say, hey, you know what, I have some dates for teams that want to have games down there. And I can say there's a lot of teams take advantage of that. And, you know, there's league games down there. And it's just a cool event. Usually you buy the ticket to that game, you get to go into the Monsters game. And the Monsters have been really accommodating when it comes to that. Just being in the locker rooms and playing on the big ice in the big arena, they've treated us well when it comes to that. And this All-Star game, they're the main sponsor. They buy the jerseys and all that. So it's a cool event. But more and more teams have been playing down there now, non-league and league games and all that. And that's something that they wanted, and they reached out to the league. They're very involved. They come to the league meetings. They're easy to get a hold of and all that. And it's been a good partnership.
So talk about what happens tonight for this draft. I mean, for those of you not here, when you look at it, you got the coaches. This is almost like a fantasy draft because you got guys sitting around eating wings with their laptops open, ready to go. So just talk about this event and what is involved with this event.
This is new. This is only, I think, the second year that we've done this. And we got the idea from the NHL. The NHL did this a few years ago where they nominate players, and then the players, the NHL picked two captains, and the captains would pick. So we kind of got the idea from that. And instead, what we did is all of our division-winning coaches come here, and we separate the coaches, and then the coaches are going to go through and pick the All-Stars that were nominated and can play in the game. So we come up with a draft book where we put stats out, and we try to make sure it's a competitive game. And but, you know, it's a good mixture between the red, white, and blue. So you're going to have some blue players that get to play against the red players. And, you know, for them, that's a neat thing. You know, they're going to see the difference. You will see the talent level between some of them. But, you know, putting it all together, it's been successful. Last year, I think the game was a one-goal game. And the year before that, it went into a shootout, I believe.
Oh, wow.
So it just happened to work out that way. There's no planning or, you know, backstage or anything like that. But tonight's a fun night. Like, the coaches just get together, and we kind of treat the division-winning coaches here like we said, to the food and all that. And, just try to make two competitive teams so that it's a good, enjoyable game next week.
Is this are these All-Star games kind of similar to that of the pro leagues where it could be a close game? Is it a relatively high-scoring affair, or is defense concentrated on a little bit more than these games?
You know what? There's everything except for maybe the contact. but it is very competitive. Like, the defense are going to play defense. And like I said, for some of these, you know, maybe blue and white kids, they want to show that, hey, guess what? Big bad red, not that bad. You know, they're gonna be busting their butt and all that. So it's been competitive games. Like I said, the contact really isn't there, which is a good thing, so we don't want any injuries. But they've been competitive games, and I think we've had, like, I don't want to say shootouts or anything, like real high scoring, but it's been probably 5 or 6 goals each team.
And how have the kids enjoyed it? I mean, what a memory they have that they'll probably never forget, playing at the Q, being in an all-star game as a senior. You know, talk a little bit about, you know, some of the kids that are in this, and what are some of the reactions from them and the parents about the all-star game?
Well, with the game being at 4, a lot of them probably can get out of school a little early, so that's the first start.
That's always a plus.
Nothing wrong with that.
The next thing is they get to keep their jersey. They get to kind of play with some, you know, people that they didn't play with before and all that, meet new people. Everybody gets introduced at the game. You know, then after the game, they get to stick around for the Monsters game. There's highlights in between periods and in between whistles and all that. And I know there's rosters that get sent out and all that, so we try to publicize that. And just something that they can always remember, you know, playing in the big arena and the big ice and all that, and, you know, getting the jersey that they can keep and all that. And it's a special day for them, and it's a kind of like a congratulation and thank you for your years of hockey.
Besides being a senior, are there any other requirements? Like, does each team need to be represented?
We try to get each team. Now, we did have a couple teams with no seniors.
Fair enough.
Good for them. But and there were other teams that had, you know, multiple seniors compared to other teams with very few seniors. For the most part, I think we were able to get – we haven't run into a part where someone wasn't not able to play. Like, there's a lot of people on each line. This isn't a standard, you know, 3-line, 6 defensemen. We're going to have like 4 to 5 lines and good amount of players on each team, but we haven't had to shut anybody down. So, you know, there may be a few that can't make it, which allow us to do that. But senior and pretty much your coach can nominate you. You know, some people are uncomfortable playing, which is okay, or, you know, spring sports and all that. But it's been a good showing so far.
Now, with this draft, what happens here? Explain to the people at home what's going to go on with each pick. You know, do you go around each coach, or how do you determine who gets the first pick in this all-star draft?
So we have 2 teams, and we have a wine team and a gold team based on the Cavs colors. And we haven't done a flip yet, but we'll flip to see who gets the pick first. And then they pretty much, the coaches will discuss with each other, all right, who's going to be the first pick. They'll make their pick from the book, and then, you know, it's going to go back and forth like that. And it's a good juggling. You know, they try to match up. If one team grabs a blue guy, we saw this last year, the other team's probably going to grab a blue guy. And if one team grabs a white guy, the other one. So it's not like you're not going to grab those top. There may be a couple top ones that are going to get picked right away.
Yeah.
You're high fantasy players. But after that, you know, you'll look through. Some coaches may remember, like, you know, players that played well against them and may talk about that, because the red coaches don't know the blue or players as much as, you know, and vice versa and all that. So they'll rely on each other and all that.
We're talking with Ryan Kelbrey. He's the president of the Greater Cleveland High School Hockey League. And, Ryan, we want to thank you for taking time to join us. We're going to let you get to the draft. But thanks for taking a few minutes with us before it starts to, you know, talk with us about the league and the All-Star draft coming up, and also at the Q next week.
Sounds good. Thanks again for being here, and thanks for having me.
No problem.
Thank you.
Again, that's Ryan Kelbrey, president of the Greater Cleveland High School Hockey League, and it's their All-Star draft. When we come back, we're going to get some coaches, hopefully, to talk to us maybe a little bit after the draft, and we'll go over some of the tournaments and everything going on up here at Dina's in Brooklyn. We're Sports on Tap.